Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
Konnichiwa.
Wake the fuck up.
And wake the fuck up. That's right. Onyx is here. Sticky Fingers and Fredro Starr.
I believe it's Back the Fuck Up.
No, that was the original album. It's Wake the Fuck Up.
New album.
Wake the Fuck Up.
That's what hip hop need to do.
Sincerely apologize for my ignorance.
So there's a few terms that I was revisiting Onyx last night, and there are a few terms I realized they're into obsessively. Something the fuck up.
Right.
Something the fuck up. And bitch ass and bombs.
Yes.
These two things just really affected your guys' lives.
Oh man, every day I wake up I think about this shit.
why were bitch ass and bombs always on your mind? What's the problem?
Yo, first of all, a bitch ass nigga is, man. You know what I'm saying? Bitch ass nigga is someone stab you in the back, somebody that you think is your
smile
friend.
Smile
in your face. That's bitch ass
nigga. So many different variations of a bitch ass.
So we had to make a song about it on the first album.
Here go.
here go.
Versus a bitch ass nigga.
So, where does the Onyx story begin musically?
Wait,
what is your guys?
I have one question before we even
start. Before we even start?
One question.
Begins in Queens.
The producer of the first album, how the fuck do you pronounce his name?
Shy Skills.
Thank you.
Shy Skills.
Because I've only ever read it and I'm like, I'm saying this wrong.
How do you spell it?
C-H-Y
Skills.
S-K-I-L-L-Z.
Chai
Skills.
You didn't know.
Chai Skills.
Right. Skills.
That's some flushy shit.
Never met him. Never saw him do anything else.
But he did a brilliant piece
of
work.
Based off his real name, Shiloh.
Shiloh. Yeah. Is it with a C-H?
C-H-Y.
Shiloh.
Yeah. All right. You know what's so great? He just called me today.
Oh, word? Yeah, oh, that's funny.
He just called me today. You know, it's crazy.
What does he do now?
He still does beats, but he's like, you know, one of those inconspicuous producers that have worked with some pop.
Come on to the mic. Sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Our listeners completely move closer.
Yo, Shy Skills was a classic producer who came from the premiere, the Large Professor mold. You know what I'm saying? He was into that, but he never got his just due for the album.
Did he do the whole album?
He did the whole album.
Shifty, throw your guns.
Other people had other songs on there too.
No, he didn't do.
Cool T did two joints. But he did the
Sucker the Next Thing.
You hear the difference.
You never hear the difference.
But the majority of the album was Shy Skills.
The bulk, right? Him and Jam Master Jay.
Was he Jam Master Jay's underling producer?
Fredo found him.
I be finding these dudes, man.
That he made a classic album and then did nothing else.
Nothing else, man. I don't know what happened, man.
Shit.
Well, we'll get to that because it's interesting because I think the sound sort of actually continued oddly in the second album. But anyways, so how does this all start? Where did the Sticky Fingers Fredro relationship begin?
Are they the only two
from birth?
Onyx?
We're cousins.
They're not. Well, real quick update. Big DS has passed, and we'll talk about him shortly.
Right.
And Sonny Caesar, they're not.
So this is Onyx.
This is it.
This is Onyx now.
We went from a 4-man group to a duo.
Okay.
And all begin
though. We didn't run DMC.
All right.
So, okay, so you guys are blood cousins?
Yes. His mom's and my mom's is like sisters, but not only sisters, they're like the closest sisters. So we were the closest cousins.
How do we never know this?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So,
and fun facts, man.
And where in Queens?
We started in Brooklyn.
South Suicide.
Oh, you were born?
Brooklyn. We started in Brooklyn, Flatbush.
Kings County Hospital.
You know what I'm saying? I was living in Flatbush, you know what I'm saying? He was living in Flatbush, Ocean Avenue. Mm-hmm. I was more by Church Avenue.
Right.
And we grew up in Flatbush, man. That's why I think the flavor, you always hear Brooklyn flavor, Onyx, and people don't get it, but the Brooklyn flavor is always there with us.
How long were you there for?
Until we was 14. So I was 14.
Oh.
And I moved to Queens when I was 15. And you know, when you move 14, from 14, that's when you start witnessing
becoming
real life.
Right.
Becoming yourself.
You know what I'm saying? Start getting the hood and knowing niggas at the corner store. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Queens is my hood.
Did y'all both move to Queens?
I did.
I did, but later.
Okay, got it. So you started hanging out there some when he's there.
Hanging out.
And then, and when did the rapping part begin?
Day one.
you start breakdancing first. You start doing
graffiti. Popping.
I mean, the culture was getting pushed to us. I mean, you know, Russell Simmons and them was doing Beat Street. I mean, Crush Groove and Beat Street, all those movies. You was affected by the culture. Everybody was either rapping, DJing.
You had to be something,
you know what I'm saying? To be cool. Just to be cool, you had to be something. So I started out doing the breakdancing thing, you know what I mean? Just like everybody else, went by the name of Magic and all this crazy shit.
That was your B-boy name?
Yeah, that was my B-boy. You know, I was 13, 14, spinning around on
Magic's not bad. We hear some bad names. Again, that's not bad.
Then I was writing Poet. You know what I'm saying? So I got arrested.
Graffiti. Wait, Poet was your graph name?
Tag name.
You might have seen it up one time, because after that I got arrested. Word, me and my man was on a 7 train somewhere in Flushing. My man, Life was like, yo, let's go bomb these trains and shit. We was bombing the train
yo,
on the
this
inside.
For me.
I don't know how we got there. I was like 14. And I see the dogs coming and all that, flashlights, and I got arrested. And I was like, yo, you know what? This graffiti shit ain't the move, man. If you got to get arrested, it'd be cool. I ain't with it. So then I started rapping.
First of all, I have a question. Why didn't your B-boy name match your graffiti name? Why not just go Magic on both?
Good question.
I don't know.
Were confusing your brand right from the beginning.
You know what? See, Poet, I was a street poet. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand, writing graffiti poet, that means the rapper was coming out of me right there.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Poet, I was putting words together already in school, like, you know what I'm saying? Being a
poet. So then you go to rap.
Yeah.
And Sticky, are you rapping at this point?
Yeah. But, see, I started, like, saying other people's raps. Mastered that, and then started writing my own raps. You know what I'm saying?
Well, okay, we got it. How long can we go without addressing Sticky Fingers' voice?
How can you address
draw
it?
Draw my voice.
How did it? Did you
Sticky Fingers?
Did you always have, like, you had a voice like that from the when your voice changed? Like, where did that come from?
When he was a baby.
Did you start smoking Newports as a child?
It came from the gut.
Literally?
Yeah. I was smoking Newports when I was in the belly, because my mom was smoking.
Literally?
He started talking, they were like, son, we have some good news and or bad news.
Oh, shit.
You will never be nothing but a rapper because your voice, no one will allow you to be anything else with that voice.
Imagine him as a
lawyer. I could be a drill instructor.
Yeah,
scared straight.
So, but did you know you had a good voice for rapping from the beginning? You know you had a commanding, like, different voice?
I guess
that's what Jam Master Jay saw. You know what I'm saying? Because we started out as a 3-man group. And then me and Sticky went to the studio one time. And
who was the original third man?
It was me, Sun Caesar, and Big DS.
Okay.
That was the original. We dropped a single on Profile Records in 1990.
Oh, yeah, I have that record.
Me too.
We do it like this.
That's right.
My producer, B-Wiz, he got murdered.
God bless.
Oh, man.
For that. So, you know, B-Wiz, he produced that track. And we did me and
How
Sticky,
old were you? How old were you then?
We was 16.
Wow, okay.
We was 16. And to have a deal on Profile.
Wait, was it Onyx?
It was.
It's Onyx.
I don't even know how we got the deal. We had some manager, this dude named Jeff Harris, and he was like a part-time sanitation worker, part-time manager.
Best kind of manager.
Part-time con man.
Yeah.
And we got to deal with. We was up at Calliope Studios, and this is old shit. I'm talking about, you know, this is old school stuff. Right.
I believe me. I know what that record looks like. It's old. Right. When you see the Onyx Profile record, your first thought is this can't be the same Onyx.
Right.
This is a different group because by the time y'all came out on Def Jam, it looked like a different era almost.
We were different people mentally and with Jay. See, Jay, as a producer, he saw something, he pulled it out. Me and Sticky went to the studio and we were just in the studio together because Sun C and Big DS
got stranded.
They got stranded doing the Jukes on some real shit. Actually, the dude that they did the Jukes with got caught, he got 10 years. So them niggas is lucky to even be in Onyx. Because if they would have got caught up, they would have been finished.
Well, real quick, and I know the word Onyx means black, but where you obviously had that name from the beginning. So was that your thing? Was that your brainchild? Was the name Onyx?
Yeah, we was Onyx by Onyx. We was into, like, you know,
that's hot.
It came up with De La Soul. When De La Soul came out, we came out in that era. You know what I'm saying? The Tropical Quest era.
Righteous shit.
It was Onyx by Onyx. Niggas had the big B's on. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Running around the city and shit. On LSD in the village, wilding the fuck out, just in
taking
the city, going to 42nd Street, taking pictures with German people, with, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. from early
Did
days.
Did anyone play the record on Profile? Was it ever on the radio? Did anyone spin it?
I got a story. Yeah, fucking Red Alert.
Okay. I love stories. That's why we're here.
Red Alert almost fucking ruined my whole rap career, motherfucker.
Yes. What's the story?
This motherfucker.
We were just here yesterday.
This motherfucker, right? I was coming out. It was a club called The Building.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We used to go to on 23rd Street. And I saw Red Alert. He was playing my record, but he was only playing the instrumental. You know what I'm saying? Heard his phone. They'd be like, yo, your record is on the radio. But it'd just be like, no.
Where's the vocals at?
So he never played the vocals. So I said, when I see Red, I gotta say something to him. So I see Red. I said, yo, Red. And you know the funny thing about it? I was just talking to DJ Premier. He was like, I like the record. You guys are honest, blah, blah, blah. And I seen Red. I'm like, yo, Red, well, you keep playing my instrumental, but why you ain't playing the lyrics? He said, I don't like the lyrics.
Oh, shit.
But he liked the beat.
He liked the beat.
And he would just play the beat.
He just played the beat. And I looked at
you. You just killed your spirits right there.
Oh, my God. I was just like, you know what? One day, nigga, you'll be at my movie premiere. Right, for real, nigga.
Yo, that is, at least, listen, say what you will. Red was an honest guy. At least he didn't hold back. Like, nah, I'm not really feeling the vocals.
But that's cool because that was inspiration for a dude like me. Some people could take that and be like, you know, I'm fucking fold.
Well, how do you feel about the vocals of that song? Like,
I
looking
love
back,
the vocals on that song.
For that time period, I think it was what was going on. Yeah, I think it was
pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was cool.
So
I don't think I've ever even listened to it.
You just have it. You just
like,
bought
red
it.
Alert. Like a, he's like,
oh, I have the record.
He just likes the beat.
As a collector.
No, I just bought it because it was Onyx, too. I was like, what is this? Because No, I was going to say, I knew a lot of stuff that was out then, but I didn't know that record. Like, I didn't see a video. I didn't know it until after the fact. So he gets the deal, but you're into rap too, Sticky. Are you clamoring to be a part of it at this point? Like,
I got abducted into Onyx. You know what I mean? We did the song and Stick Up Kids. That's when Sticky Fingers was born. You know what I mean? And Jay and Fred Joe put me in the group. So
Jay was like, he heard the demo. He was like, yo, who the fuck is that who the fuck is that rapping? I was like, that's my cousin and shit. He was like, play that shit again. I'm like, yo. He was like, yo, this motherfucker gotta be in a group. He gotta be in a group. And then Big DS and Son C didn't know about all this shit.
Oh, they were in jail.
No, they weren't in jail.
Oh, they were.
But they stranded. Wasn't part of the decision. Because I had the closest relationship with Jay, basically. Like,
right. We gotta get to that, though. Where did that come from, the relationship with Jay?
We just met Jay. Yo,
Jones was Jones.
Our first
Beach.
Meeting we had with Jay was a God-given meeting. We were stuck in a traffic jam for 2 hours with him.
Where? How?
Jones Beach.
Coming from Jones Beach.
He was in the next car?
He was in the next car over.
Wow. Going it down.
And you know, you leave Jones Beach, it's like...
Yes, you can't move.
You can't move.
Wait, after the beach or like a concert?
On the highway type
after
shit.
After the beach.
A concert or just being
it's
at
after.
Just being at
regular
the beach
day.
No, that big what that big day.
Every summer,
beach,
whatever they do.
Oh, right.
And then everybody had
not Greek Fest.
Greek Fest.
Right.
Everybody
right,
had
right.
Hot 97 on playing However Do You Want It. The whole highway was playing this shit. It was crazy. Like, I'm writing a movie about Onyx, and this is part of the movie. And we met Jay. He was in the next van smoking weed. And we seen smoke coming out the van. I'm like, yo, that's Jay. Yo, could we smoke with you? He's like, come on. So we smoking with him.
So you jumped in the van?
We jumped in the van and was smoking with him. But before we left, we said, yo, we rappers. And then he was like, yo, I got my label. Whoopty whoop. Then we start politicking with him the whole 2 hours, and we got to know each other, and we got his number. He said, keep in touch. Then we went to his, he was having a wedding. Run was having a wedding, and we went to the, actually, I didn't go, but Big DS and Son C went to the wedding recital, and they was rapping at Run's wedding recital.
Wait, when?
Because we knew this drug dealer. We knew a drug dealer named Miles Davis. In
see, this South is Park. A movie. You hear this?
And Miles
this
Davis
happened.
Was
we
a
knew
old
the drug dealer.
Drug, he knew he was in the streets. He knew running and people. So we got kind of connected through Miles Davis too. He had a cab service called Bailey 7. So you know what I'm saying? This is
hold
crazy.
Up. His last name was Davis.
His name was
Davidson.
Miles Davis.
I don't know if it was Miles. It was Bailey.
Right.
Miles hold Bailey.
On. Is it the same Miles Davis? Right.
Miles Bailey. That's that good OG. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So you meet. So you guys end up staying in touch with Jay.
Right.
He's starting the label.
2 years.
At this point, does he have anyone else already signed?
Yeah. Afros.
No, he had the Afros family. In a group called the Family.
Family record is so hot. I love that.
We
record.
Wrote it.
We wrote it.
We run in the family.
Yeah,
run the family.
We wrote. So
we wrote that.
We wrote that. So Jay was like, I got this group called Family. They're singers, but they want to do a rap record. Can you guys come in and write the record for them? So we met them, and
damn.
I picked out two of the singers to write verses for, and Sticky picked out two. Son C didn't write nothing, I don't think, right?
No.
So that's what we was
it
always. We was
family.
Always a duo from the start. Even on the record, the Christmas record, it was just me and Sticky on the record. Son C wasn't there. So the duo
and
shit
the
was kind of like. You know,
well, I mean, I got to be totally honest. I also got to be totally honest. I mean, God bless the dead, Big Diaz, but you guys truthfully are the two members everyone thinks of when you thought of Onyx. That was just always kind of how it was. Like, right. You guys were the biggest names. That's right. Just that you had the voice, you had the movies and shit. Like, you guys are sort of what people thought of. So when you hear of groups coming out and it's only a couple members left and they're still doing it.
Right.
It's fortunate that you two are the two doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just brand-wise, it certainly makes sense. You know. So at what point do you guys start talking about doing like an album for real? Like, at what point does Back the Fuck Up start becoming a possibility?
It started off as a single. It started off as a single. Then
a single deal.
Right. Then
with
it turned to an EP deal.
Jam Master J/Def Jam.
Then it turned to an LP deal.
What was a single?
Throw Your Guns.
Oh, what's Throw Your Guns?
Throw Your Guns and then
Slam was the last song we made.
Throw Your Guns
actually.
And the B side was Suck the Next Thing to Dick, right?
Yep.
And they put it out and it was like, yo, do
and
an
one
EP.
More.
It was
do
like, yo,
EP.
Do an EP. It was like,
which
EP?
Is six songs.
It's like, do six songs. And we did six songs. We did like 10 songs out of the 6 song
then,
budget.
And they said, do a whole album.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? So then it was like, yo, let's just go on.
Was Throw Your Guns playing at the time? Did it, or it didn't come out yet?
It didn't come out yet. Oh. It was just, they had this little this sampler they was giving out. And we were kind of like featured. Def Jam was piggybacking. They knew how to market shit. Like, they would have like L. Cool J come out and Onyx would be piggyback.
Right.
I mean, they would know how to piggyback off projects. And we were piggybacking off somebody's sampler tape. But we was getting a great response from the Throw Your Guns record.
So they threw Your Guns on another artist's sampler tape, on like a Redman tape or something else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
so were you guys going to the studio? Was Jay always in the studio?
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always in the studio. His studio burnt down. He had the studio in Queens.
12-12?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know your history.
A little bit.
Just a little bit, right?
A little bit.
I used to go to this 12-12 with some other dudes, and then Jam Master J would be in there.
Yep.
And I'm like,
who were the other dudes? Cuckoo Cows people? No. I'm just kidding. It doesn't make sense time-wise.
Why was I over there?
Cuckoo Cows because like Detroit, right?
Milwaukee.
Because the other dude,
Life A&R, the Cuckoo Cow album.
That was a hot record. The project.
Look at that.
The other dude that we talked, Large Professor, talked about some engineer that was also in there.
At 12-12? Yeah, I do remember that coming up.
It was everybody coming through.
It was a lot of
Queens was just in there.
Everybody. I mean, not even Queens. It was just like
everybody in general.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like rehearsal studios too, so it'd be like some rock band practicing next door.
Right. It was grimy.
Yeah, it was grimy.
Grimy, man.
So, was Jam J just, he oversaw everything?
I mean, he built
Quasar.
Quasar. I mean, no, I got Quasar that deal, like a Universal. And they kind of played me with that. I was like,
ooh,
it's
they
cool.
Did?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about that.
Yeah, with Dino DeValle. Yeah, straight up. I was in there tap dancing on the table for them niggas.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And the niggas got the deal.
Quasar.
My man Spin Tech.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they good money. They good peoples.
He'd oversee everything. He wouldn't necessarily be hands-on with the production.
Hands-on? Well, Shah Skills was hands-on, but he was hands-on as well.
Right, like he would come in and say, let's do
this. We would go to Shaw's crib sometime. He lived in Flushing. He was up in his mom's bed. He had the bunk beds and all that. We stood in the bottom bunk. We rocking and shit, you know what I'm saying? His mom's in there cooking food. You know, his mom's was definitely receptive, you know what I'm saying? She was showing love. And we go get the beats, take it to Jay say, change the drums. It was a good chemistry, you know what I'm saying?
Man, what the fuck happened to that guy? That album sounds like nothing else ever created.
It was
nothing.
That's it.
It's so
awesome.
Even
when I heard
dark.
Sucking the Next Nigga, I was like, this is not the same producer.
Right.
Just listening to it. He had a sound, man.
He had a sound, yeah.
What
drums.
The fuck? Do you know what it was? What
MP, MP, S950.
950 Akai.
A lot of people had that, though.
Delta.
He made it.
It's the way he did his hi-hats.
He was
smooth with it.
Because Throw Your Guns is Nautilus.
Right, yeah.
A million people use Nautilus.
Album is Nautilus.
There's a lot of Nautilus.
There's a lot. How many times is Nautilus on there?
At least four or five times. Shifty is Nautilus, too.
That's right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Part of yeah.
Because the way he was chopping and pitching the shit down, you would like.
Yeah.
Only him and Primo to me can really like. They was chopping all this. Some niggas went crazy with them shit.
Chopping in a different kind of way. But Throw Your Guns, I was like, somebody was like, yo, that's Nautilus. I'm like, it is.
Yeah, you can hear about the electronic pianos is all in that.
Man.
Yeah.
That is weird that it's Nautilus. I can't even really hear it.
That's crazy that y'all talking about Nautilus because hip hop today, what?
Yeah, they don't even know what.
It's not about digging and me and coming up in the 90s, we was always digging and finding out.
Well, but the awesome thing about Nautilus is that it's been used 1,000 times, but people have flipped it in ways that like that where you wouldn't even realize that.
The Ghostface joint.
Yeah, Ghost killed it. Even
Live at the Barbecue is Nautilus.
Yep.
I didn't know that till later.
The
now.
Drums, yeah, the drum
just
break.
Just that one part.
Yeah, the drum break
with the
open hi-hats. Yeah. It's crazy.
So Throw Your Guns was the first record you guys did?
Luckily, we paid for that sample.
you did?
Yeah, we paid. Yeah.
What do you think? Do you remember what you paid for?
We paid for it.
So many times, though, if you used it that many times.
Money well spent.
Sometimes we ain't clear some of that shit.
No, sure.
Did you guys ever get sued for any of this stuff on the album or no?
Yeah.
Fat Boys sued us.
They sued us.
Who?
The Fat Boys.
For one word, fat.
We had a song called PHAT, fat. And this is
you
before.
Sampled it?
Yep.
Fat, that one word.
Right, remember.
Fat.
One syllable word.
I think they quoted for like little... 50 stacks. But they said it wasn't them though, you know, because we stepped in them.
Publishing.
Look, look, look.
We stepped in them niggas.
Are they counting
them? Hold on. Slow
we
down.
Stepped the Fat Boys like, yo, what's good?
That nigga's going to sue us, son?
You stepped to the Fat Boys?
This is what happened.
Yeah.
We stepped in
I'm
going
to tell you what
boys.
Happened. Prince Marky D heard it, called his publishing company, was like,
sick him.
Look, they sampled my shirt.
We didn't, you know what I'm saying?
Sick him.
And then when you came, they were like, nah, we didn't know. The publisher did it.
No, see.
Fuck out of here. Because I know a couple niggas right now, to this day, that they have Hot 97 people on payroll, right?
Wow.
And they say, if you hear my shit in any song, let me know and I'll split the dough with you.
Wow.
No.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's big money in that fucking sample shit, B. A lot of money in
so
that.
So what happened when you stepped, where did you step to them? You remember?
We was like out somewhere and seen them. You know, we was in probably like an industry event and we stepped to them. And, you know, they was like, yo, we didn't have nothing to do with it. It's our, you know, our publishing company, blah, blah, blah. So we let them live. You know what I mean? We let them live.
You let the Fat Boys
because they legends. You know what I'm saying? They are legends. We came up off their movies, so sometimes you gotta let you gotta let the legends live and shit.
Did you listen to any Fat Boys music?
Not recently.
It was really just no. But back in that in the day, do you think the Fat Boys were more iconic just for the movies?
Fat Boys,
nah. Girl, they had hits. They were definitely influential in hip hop. They wouldn't be in movies if they weren't. They had hot joints. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
The Fat Boys are hot. The fat yeah. They
Fat
were
Boys
hot.
Are back.
They were hot. They were hotter than Kid. They were hotter than Kid and Play.
No, yes. You think?
Very much. I
not
Kid
not to my white ears.
Well,
I like Kid and Play better.
Mm-hmm. See, I put them on the same kind.
They're similar.
Yeah.
But Kid and Play,
not
I think.
Not to my white ears.
Yeah, my white ears took to Kid and Play. I was like, this Kid and Play stuff is it.
Because you was doing that dance all
oh,
the time.
Oh, no. We love the dance.
See?
You jump into your leg?
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Can you do it now?
No. Never could do it. My brother could do it. Real sloppy version of it. Yo, Sife, you got a long iPhone cord?
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, man. I loved rolling with. There's a bunch of Kid and Play stuff I love, but I think the movie Delirious is the Fat Boys' highlight.
Yeah,
Delirious was it gets no better.
Yeah,
than
yeah.
Now, how much were you guys? You mentioned that. How much were you guys actually wilding out? Because in the mind, in the collective imagination of hip hop, you guys Onyx was like absolutely wilding out crazy.
How much?
So the question is, how much?
We was 100% wilding out crazy.
All of you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yo, look, when we first came out, Queens didn't have nothing. We was Queens. Every time we would go to a club, it would be like dudes there like, yo, these dudes is there, the fuck y'all niggas up at the club. We'd be like, oh, where they at? Because we want to see.
Rolling 100 deep.
This is how we used to roll to the club. We used to roll with, you know,
club
like the
2000,
nines, you know,
Gungi, all
the song. You know, Queens, was out?
Yeah, on our first movie, you know, Queens got 9 vans and all of that, like, to take you from the app.
Yeah.
We used to have a 9 van full of just the adolescent dudes from our block, the dudes who ain't have cars. Then we had 10, all of the drug dealers rocking with us coming. When we come to it, when we hit the Triborough Bridge, we got 20 cars. You see 20 cars rocking with us to go to the club. And we paying the club back $5,000 because we got that many niggas with us.
So you would pay for everyone?
Yeah.
If it had to be done?
Yeah.
Only 20 people could get in. What about the other 30? Fuck that. We'll pay for them. Everybody coming in. You know what I mean?
Whoever wanted a problem, they got it. We didn't shut down the fever. We didn't shut down
Club
the tunnel.
2000, the
Club
tunnel.
2000. We did it all. Battles. Like, we've been through it.
Are there any known?
Not because we wanted, because it was just. When you
it feels like that sometimes.
We're always getting tested at that time.
You got. Our two rumors. Were y'all dancers first?
He was.
A breakdancer.
But not
Magic.
Magic.
Barbers.
Barbers, yeah.
Barbers, okay.
Nah, we was barbers, but...
Master barbers. They only did the baldy, though. That was it.
They showed up every haircut with 30 niggas.
I'm going to keep it real. Like, as far as when the barber thing happened, like, I was the top paid barber in New York City.
Are you serious? You ran the barber game, too?
I was the top.
He made me want to be a barber.
I was the top barber in New York.
When is it? Before you was rapping?
Yo, if you ever seen, if you from New York, let me
shit.
Tell you something. If you was from New York from 1991 to 93, you see niggas running around with Stickman in their hair like this?
Pyramids and designs.
What?
I did the Stickman. I used to work at, my man from Knapp's put me on a barbershop in Brooklyn, was the top barbershop in Brooklyn.
I remember the Stickman. It was being videos and everything.
I did that. I invented that. That was my thing. So I would charge $100 a haircut.
No.
I was short, nigga.
You should have just stuck with haircut.
I was the first one in the first
knew?
One out. You know what I'm saying? When I first met Jam Master J, I had a brand new rodeo and $10,000 in my pocket. He was like,
What's a rodeo? Oh, the car?
New.
Oh, the whip?
Truck.
He was like,
you
what
a brand
do you
new
do?
Rodeo
sell
truck?
Drugs? I was like, nah, come to my barbershop. I'll give you a haircut after I cut these 20 niggas.
So you were like that. You were killing the haircut.
I was the
game.
Best smoking weed at going inside. I was the best in Queens. I was battling niggas for money. I can vouch for that. I was going up to ask the place, putting 10 G's on the table, like, who won a battle?
Hold on. Haircut battle?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, this is taking hip hop to another level. I've never heard of Sype. Well, how did someone win a haircut battle?
Whoever could do the design the best. I had niggas with me with afros. Who could do the best flat top? Who could do the best designs? Nigga, my flat tops was the illest. Like, I was like.
Tight.
Did Jam Master Jay ever hook you up with the afros to cut their hair?
You know what? No.
That would have been big. That would have been a big moment.
He was cutting Rakim here.
No, you cut Rakim
here? Rakim here. Big Daddy Kane came through a couple of times.
Damn.
Coogee Rap was coming through. Coogee Rap. Kid and Play, we cut, you know.
But that's a big deal.
Kid and Play? Hold up.
They came in there.
Kid and Play?
They came through the bar. We worked at New Tribe, man.
Kid's hair was iconic.
Iconic hair.
You shaped up the high top?
Play came through. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, okay, Play. Kid didn't come.
Nah, he had a good
nice cut part. He had a clean part. Now, in all seriousness, that's kind of a big deal, though, because you were getting to be around these rappers. You were seeing, like, you were getting close to the
Rakim,
game.
I told Rakim when I was coming to see it.
I'm coming.
I'm going to be there one day. You know, he probably like, whatever. You know,
did show you any love, support?
Nah, I was a barber.
Gave him a tip.
I was a barber, you know. I was just nice at
who
what
tipped
I
the
did.
Best? You remember which rapper tipped you the best?
The drug dealers.
You know what? My man Preem, that used to be with Rakim. I used to cut his Sonny had the. He used to come with the monkey. My man Preem with the big chain on his neck from Payton 4.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
You know Preem who he is.
Yes.
I know Preem.
Okay, he used to come with his son from Rakim Video, kicking the speaker. He used to come with the monkey on his neck.
Sidebar, we should get to Preem on the podcast.
Tip me like $500 to cut his son here, just do a little Caesar. Like, you niggas was doing it.
And he would give you $5.
I was Lefty, Jazz, all them Supreme team. Everybody was coming in the barbershop. I was cutting here. Queens is the crack capital. Let's not get it confused with where I was cutting here at. Southside Jamaica, Queens, B. I wasn't cutting here in fucking La La Land. I was cutting here where niggas is getting blasted right in front of the barbershop.
Top killer Queens.
I'm cutting every drug dealer nigga in here. That's why my money was up at the time. That's why when Jay met me, he respected me as far as this nigga's getting money. Not just no little clown kid rapper nigga. So when them niggas gave me a contract, I was like, that shit is not what I need. Something bigger and better.
Because you'd seen some money.
Exactly.
Yo, I got to tell you guys. I'm going to tell you something right now. You are never going to be part of the, like, travel committee for Queens. I mean, the nicknames that rap comes up with for Queens are so bad. It's like, do you want to visit this place? What's it called? Oh, they have a few names for it. Oh, Cop Killer Queens. South Suicide. That's a popular area. Like, who would want to go
that's
there?
That's a popular area.
I was watching fucking Coming to America the other day. I'm like, ugh, this place looks like shit.
Yeah, Coming to America.
And I love my brother lived in Queens for years. I spent a lot of time in Queens. It looks horrible. 80s Queens looks fucking horrible. Nasty.
The chick from the movie, she used to come to the barbershop.
No, from his girlfriend, Coming to America? The girl?
Yes. She used to get her hair done in the barbershop. I used to be looking at it like this.
She was really a Queens girl?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Coming to America.
Yes.
The main chick?
The main chick. She used to come to the barbershop. To get her hair done by
Cynthia.
We was popping, man.
Wow. All right. So
we run hip hop.
It was a hair salon also?
Yeah, they had the girl with the big booty in the front. So all right, the guys come in.
Sounds nice. That sounds cool. So this whole time, what are you doing, Steve?
I'm sticking niggas up.
Oh, of course.
Right there next to me, cutting.
Oh, you jumped in the barbershop?
He jumped in too.
Eventually. I stole his book to get a job. I never cut a hair in my life. He had the illest haircuts. And I went to another barbershop and said, yo, I did all these cuts. And they believe me. Then he said, yo, where's your clippers? I said, I ain't got none. I thought I was busted, and he bought me clippers. But here's the thing. I was a natural. Never messed up nobody's head.
I just find
it runs in the family.
I'm just sorry. Saif, am I the only one who appreciates the irony in the fact that of all groups that would have this incredible barber history, it's the most known bald group in history?
Right. If you do the homework on the old Onyx videos, like we did, like one of the promo videos, we cut this white kid hair off in a barbershop.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
that's, triple zero.
I'm going to find that joint on YouTube. Def Jam.
Wait,
put
why,
that out.
So the why box. The bald heads?
The box.
Because. When we got to
was it so different because everybody had designs.
Nah,
so
we
had every hairstyle. Life, so
I'm gonna keep it real.
Last one.
Life came, man. When B Wiz got murdered and life started getting serious.
Wiz was the producer.
Life just started getting serious when I got 17. Got kicked out the crib. You know what I'm saying? It was like it was like do or die. And
but you was this ill barber before you were 17.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a
that's
kid.
That's when I got kicked out the crib. I told my pops, let me just go in the crib and get my 20,000, so I could get the fuck out.
Are
of
you West Indian?
Nah, I just grew up in Flatbush. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in Flatbush.
So, but you had 20,000 stacked in the house from being a barber.
Yeah. So then I got my own, then I got my first crib.
If he's not, then I can't be.
I don't know, maybe you're fine.
You know what I'm saying?
So you had the money you'd stacked up from being a barber.
Right.
You take that, you go out on your own. You were running around being a badass up until you did the barber.
Running around with D-Seps and lowlifes.
Got it. Getting into all kinds of mischief.
Did you beat me up in front of Aviation High School once?
Yeah, he beat you for the headphones.
You know what? It wasn't me. It was my dude Stax.
you got jumped by D-Seps?
Almost.
You avoided it?
D-Seps is
talked your way out?
Huh. I've made them laugh, man, and they left me alone.
The Park West?
I got to holler back.
Huh?
You went to Park West? You went to Park West?
No. Oh, I got beat up in front of Park West once, though.
I used to go to
Graphic
Communications.
How many places did you get beat up in front of, Sife?
Yo, because they used to, they
heard
used to
of
go to Park West.
Yeah, I just got kicked in
that
the back.
That was like food for D-Seps, Park West. Yeah. That was like food.
I went to Aviation.
I went to Graphic Communications.
The level of laughing.
No, I went to Aviation.
Get it in.
Right? You know Aviation, right? And no girls. And we went on a train, and the D-Seps came, and they robbed like five
gooses, train passes, Walkmans.
Yep. And it got to me, and I said something to the dude.
Oh, why like, you do that?
All right. I said something. It was maybe something from Different Strokes or something. Like, what you talking about or something? And then he started dying laughing. And he's like, yo, leave this nigga alone.
See?
And then 20 of them walked past me. It wasn't like, I'm like, I hope the message got all the way to the last.
Yeah, get the memo.
But you remember that when they used to walk, when dudes used to walk through the train, yeah, there'd be like 20 of them. So you don't want
to have contact
with
not
one dude.
No, that's how I got this scar.
Yeah.
I got robbed. Not D-Sip, but in the Bronx.
You
got
to put your head down like this.
Yep.
Soon as you see the last foot go, you're like.
No, the last foot went by. I looked up.
No.
And the nigga was looking at me.
Right.
And he goes, what the fuck you looking at? I was like, fuck! They were already in the next car.
Yeah, you
and I was sitting at the last seat, right, where they opened the door.
Yeah.
And they all came back. And they took my army jacket. I'm like, it's just an army jacket.
Don't care. Yo, D-Seps was wild, B.
Yeah. Yo,
but they had the other ones I made laugh, and they left me alone. And then who was the dude? Remember the famous dude that used to have a hammer?
Yeah, they turned out with a hammer, take your headphones. That's Sticky Old Crew.
Listen, Linda. Listen,
Linda.
We can't talk about this stuff, okay, Linda?
All right, let's keep it moving.
Okay, let's get back to the music. So, Throw Your Guns is the first thing you guys did.
Yeah, the Rebellious record.
I just love that was the idea. Like, we have an idea for a commercial record. I think it's going to really be a smash. It's called Throw Your Guns. And it's like a super, like, I remember even at the time, it stood out from the chorus, at least, as being a pretty violent-sounding record.
Yeah.
Even for that time, it's a...
What year is Throw Your Guns?
92.
So what's happening around then? Like,
what else?
Is it a new school?
Yeah, more Dyes fun
Effects.
Shit.
Let me
tell
you, Throw Your Guns was basically us coming at Dyes Effects.
Okay, let me write that down in my notes.
They were the hottest shit at the time. They had Bumpskick.
But no personals. Just because they
musically.
Were hot.
Musically, like.
Bumpskickity, bump.
These were the guys we were looking at, and they was coming out the sewer.
Right.
You know, they was grimy. It was like, you know, that's where hip hop was at the time. You had Naughty by Nature, then Dyes Effects, then Cypress Hills. Those were the three groups. Mm.
And it had just came from that Daisy age, though.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So hip hop was going back harder, to the hard shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was Leaders of the New School. Then you had the Naughty by Nature. Then Dyes Effects and Cypress Hills. So we looked at all those dudes kind of the last year or two that was coming out.
And it was getting harder and harder and harder.
So we was like, okay, we gotta be the illest. So we looked at Dyes Effects.
West Coast, this is when Dre was popping. Dre had it on Smash.
Right,
because Onyx.
We was on a tour with them.
Onyx, to me, this is how, as a kid, I looked at it. Onyx, because they say Wu-Tang saved New York, but Onyx
came after us, though.
Huh? That's what I'm saying. Onyx was really the warm up for Wu-Tang.
Right.
Onyx had the shit that sound that we wanted, but Wu-Tang for some reason just made it fucking.
But like this,
like I just
mentioned, all those rappers that I was looking at making my album. Yeah. Guess who Wu-Tang was looking at?
Yeah,
was
of course,
they definitely.
Right. So you know, what
you
I'm saying?
You can't slam. That's, don't let me get fool on you,
the
man.
Influence keeps growing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure Biggie was influenced by Wu. You know what I'm saying? Like it just moved, and then you know Puffy came and changed.
But you definitely kicked the door open for them because Wu-Tang and Biggie are the two sounds that.
Right.
But it was like Biggie went. Glossy, and then Wu went like that underground, and those were the two things that brought it back home from the West. But you definitely bought Dyes Effects,
right?
Cypress sounded like East Coast, even though they're from the West Coast,
right? I mean, Naughty,
that album we actually beat
the Naughty was
we beat the Chronic album for the Soul Train,
really?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, is that why
rap album? I couldn't believe
it. Is that why Snoop was yelling at the Source Awards?
Oh, no,
so go ahead. So, yeah, so. Yeah, you're going at Dos Effects.
And so that was the inspiration for Throw Your Guns.
Exactly.
And Throw Your Guns popped.
Yeah, it popped.
It got big here, right?
Hell yeah.
Like, it was on Mix Show in D.C. too, but it got pretty big in New York, right?
We put a lot of groundwork for that record. Like, we did every fucking nick and cranny club in New York. I mean, had to fight, like I said, chairs getting, you know, fighting every clubs and all of that. We did all of that, you know what I'm saying? Def Jam on promo tours, watched 50,000 kids in there, somebody got paid, you know what I'm saying? Like, we paid our dues for that record.
Did anyone else go out with you guys initially on promo tour?
Yeah, it was us. They put us with Brand Nubians,
Nicky D, The Boss.
Boss, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Boss was signed also.
Yeah.
How was Boss?
She was like
The Boss.
She was like how Snoop from The Wire is. Like, she's like,
she was like
hardcore.
That?
Like, yeah, she was hard.
But then the story came out eventually later that her character was totally manufactured. That's what people said. And she seemed real.
I don't believe that.
It was a college experiment, wasn't it?
That's what, yeah, people said it was like a whole experiment. We got to get her.
College experiment.
Well, she
Blair Witch and shit.
She was like, she did like an experiment to be a rapper, a hard rapper.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they said? That it was totally made up.
Listen, she smoked weed and she wore ghetto clothes.
Drank 40s. So
she did the whole thing.
Yeah.
But she could have been, when you guys went to bed, she could have went home, taken her shit off and gotten her computer and you didn't even know.
Put these guys and shit.
Right.
Yeah. And that her record was hard too.
That Deeper shit? Oh my
God. And Recipe of a Ho.
Yeah, they both was crazy.
They were super crazy.
We wrote on her album too. I think we wrote some shit. Running and coming and get you. We wrote that for her. You know, Russell
was. Everyone has a story about writing for her, I think, because she wasn't a writer.
Right, here, she didn't write for herself. Yeah. So you guys are going on a promo tour, which, by the way, I love that the promo tour is basically them just getting different fights in different cities. That's the worst kind of promo I've ever heard.
That's all it was.
How many people went on a road with y'all?
We try as much people as possible.
That I bet.
If it was driving, you had people with you.
We had a bus.
Listen, just unscrew the vent.
Exactly.
Yo, we used to call our bus. We used to call our bus Rikers Island. Because it was like, yo, the bunks, it was crazy on our bus. Niggas was fighting. We was fighting amongst ourselves. It was so many
niggas.
Right,
right.
Who was the Def Jam?
Like, who stole my chicken? Yo, son. It was like, yo, those my potato chips, nigga. You know, it was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
How many people on a bus? Like, 10 people?
The bus hold 13. We got 20. Straight up. So it's 7 extra niggas without a bed, and you got niggas
just
on
standing?
The floor. We leaving niggas at McDonald's, got churn buses
right,
around.
Right,
like, shit was real, B.
Yo, who was the Def Jam rep at the time?
Kevin Lyles. I'm going to tell you a story about circle. Kevin Lyles. And Kevin Lyles, I knew Kevin Lyles was going to be important, you know, because the first time we met Kevin Lyles, he was like, here's your hotel room keys. He was a rep from D.C.
A regional.
Yeah, Baltimore regional.
Right.
He was just here. He was our two podcasts ago.
But he understands what.
He gets it.
He gets it because when we got to the room, there's fucking 40 ounces in tub with ice and weed in your drawer. I mean, only thing missing was
all his staff was pretty girls.
Only thing missing was a groupie in the lobby. He covered all the, so he knew, like, artist development, he knew. We was like, yo, this is the best shit ever. 40s.
Like,
so
simple,
you,
it's not
so
that
you
much
walk
money.
In the room, you're like,
it's spending,
simple shit.
Spending a couple $100 out of pocket
and
to make sure everything.
You remember his name, and you remember that instant, because still to this day, because
this
he
day.
Took a little extra effort.
A little extra effort.
Right. Took him 10
takes.
Minutes.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
That's really, really cool.
Stop at the store.
I can't imagine. Now, did your boys, like, listen to him? Like, would he be able to control y'all?
They listen to us.
Okay, they listen to y'all.
They listen to me. I was in charge of all that shit. Straight up.
Is that a code word? Like, for wilding out?
Kim, that means everybody leave. Nigga.
Keep it moving.
Kim.
Now, you guys are cousins, so it's a little different. Yeah. Have you guys ever had, the two of you ever had a breakup in any way?
No.
Nah.
Y'all have always been good.
Yeah.
And
I mean, sometimes we have our time, you know, we have our time off and, you know, but, you know, as far as, like, we family, I always got to see this nigga at Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we got that mutual respect as far as artists as well. You know
Were you the louder one and you the muscle one?
Yeah, he's definitely the louder one. I'm the enforcer.
That's what I figured. I mean, not that you're quiet. I mean, but you were the one who was telling people what was what.
You know, I think growing up, being a barber, it helped me with my social skills.
People
cause I was
skills,
cutting,
right.
I cut all types of people. I mean, white people, black people.
Hey, can
people.
I get a cut? Kim!
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if I got somebody in my chair that's, you know, an executive who's wearing a tie, I have to
talk to them.
I got to speak to them. I'm not just some nigga off the street. I have intelligence. You know what I'm saying? Even though we have that image where we're ignorant, and I'm very intelligent, very witty.
So real quick, how much of the album was complete fantasy and just you guys having fun, and how much of it was drawn from complete experience?
I would say 50-50.
So you guys, I mean, listen, you guys were obviously wilding out, but you weren't necessarily literally running around throwing guns and busting shots at every minute for no reason.
No, no, we wouldn't be here.
I'm not in jail.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think in hip-hop, there's a lot of misconceptions
doing
about
an interview.
That. Right, exactly. But in hip-hop, people get confused because they're like, they kind of pick and choose where they want to suspend disbelief, right? They'll be like, these guys are so unauthentic. And I said to someone, or so inauthentic, and I said to someone recently, I was like,
look, I got a gun, but I don't want to use it.
See, that's totally different.
But see, my thing is this, all that's cool. Like, anybody that's from the hood, that's from the lower level of society as far as financial-wise, and that's living in a place where they're struggling, pain. I don't give a fuck if you was a CEO. I don't care if you cut hair. I don't care if you was a dancer. I don't care if you gay. I don't give a fuck. You're from the hood. You're going to see some shit. Yeah. You're going to be real. So everybody speculating, is this motherfucker. Nigga, to survive over 21 from Southside Jamaica makes you fucking real. So what the fuck niggas talking about? I'm here. Where's Tupac? Where's Biggie? Where's all these? Where's Scott La Rock? Nigga, I'm a survivor. So that makes me fucking real. So it don't matter what niggas say. When niggas want to test it, come test it. You know what I'm saying? So all this other shit that niggas is saying, niggas got to know how to, you know what I'm saying? John Gotti is real, a real mobster. He gets paid to do that. I'm a real rapper. I get paid to do that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's niggas got to understand this shit is entertainment, but at the same time, my manager might be a drug dealer. My manager might be a murderer. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
let everybody do what they do. I'm a rapper. I got shooters. Let the shooters do what the shooters do.
When and why?
Straight up.
When and why did, first of all, that's going to get used on someone's mixtape or
okay,
album.
Let's let the shooters shoot. Let the rappers rap. Let's not confuse this shit.
And let the poppers pop.
That's what I mean. These niggas try to confuse Breakers. The game, man. All these niggas try to confuse the game and try to be something they not. I remember, no disrespect, I know a rapper, yo, they didn't even start out as a gangster rapper. They got money, then they turned gangster. It's because why? Because you might have the drug dealer manager that you got involved with from the streets. This shit is all mixed up, man. The crack game reminds me of the rap game. It's true.
You're saying he shouldn't have turned into a gangster rapper?
No, it just happens that way. You get involved, you get money. When you get money, you get targeted. You get jewelry. You need protection. You need niggas to hold you down. So you might be that type of rapper, but then you might get involved with some money shit. Once the money get involved, the wolves come out.
That sounds
terrible.
Once
the wolves come out, you got to get niggas to take care of the wolves. So you might turn from a nice guy to a villain.
That's why you will never see me in that situation.
I'm just breaking it down, nigga. I'm 43 in this shit.
I appreciate it.
Straight up, 1971, nigga. I'm OG in this shit.
So, that was amazing, by the way. So throw your guns.
The fire is here, nigga. Wake the fuck up. It's a new album.
So I wanted to ask you this. You asked about one rumor. Did you get to another rumor? Didn't you say there was one speculative thing?
Dancer and barbers.
I was a fucking dancer. I was dancing on niggas' fucking foreheads. What the fuck niggas want? What else?
Were there any known...
The fuck, nigga, you never danced with a girl in a club? You never do you fucking crazy? You not a dancer?
Bad,
every fucking body's a fucking dancer. Unless
real quick,
you got
hold
two
on,
left
real
fucking feet.
Real quick.
I went to the club and I was fucking dancing with them bitches. Who you was dancing with, nigga?
Real quick.
So yeah, I was fucking dancing.
Did people used to test you?
You testing me right now?
No, what? Absolutely not. I wasn't talking about you guys, by the way.
I get tested every day.
No,
life.
By the way, I wasn't saying that.
Fuck with you.
Yeah, please stop. Please, the last person. Let me tell you, who I'm not getting into an argument with Onyx. Okay.
I might fuck with you.
No, but listen, are there any known things that you guys had with other artists who tested you in that time or no?
Master Ace tried to play us. We stepped to him. They didn't want it. You know, they
why?
Were,
well,
wow, that's
back
a great
in the days, he on was record? Saying all these oh. Something about these niggas throw your guns, blah blah blah, whatever.
In a rhyme,
he was on the radio like an interview. Oh. So he was talking shit. So he was like, "Oh, you gonna be at the BREO with some event?"
He was talking on the radio.
He
said
was talking on
that, and then said where he was gonna be.
Exactly, and we was gonna be in the same place. So he was like, "All right, when we see them niggas, it is what it is." You feel what I mean? So,
yo, by the way,
hey, yo, fuck them. Motherfucker, I'm gonna be at Union Hall.
By the way, tonight I'm gonna be. No, it's funny. It came up for the second time podcast in a row because Drez was talking about last time. Back in the day in hip hop, I feel like so many words were getting analyzed, and you could hear so many people saying little slick shit
all the time
about other people.
Yeah, I still do.
Do you still hear it? Do you still catch in other shit when you hear hip hop now?
And you step to him, and, yeah.
I mean, we stepped him at the time. We stepped to him because he was like, "Yo, these dudes is talking about 30 guns," basically saying we ain't real,
right?
So he was like, okay. When I seen him, I was like, yo, what's up with all that shit you was talking? He was like, yo, man, yo. I was, nigga was stuttering, you know what I'm saying? Shit. Doing the Ruben stutter.
So
the Ruben Studder before Ruben
Studder. You let
Studder.
Him slide.
You let him live. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, that music did fit in a little bit too, though.
What?
When you were talking about the music from that era of East Coast dark shit, that second Master Ace album fits in there too, though. Yeah. That Slaughterhouse. Yeah. Slaughterhouse kind
of
fits in.
We call Master Ace all the time on the road. He's one of the, he's touring a lot, so he's, you know, he's doing his thing.
Nah, he's doing his thing now. So, okay, we got to finish. We got to keep going with this album, though. Throw Your Guns blows up pretty big.
Yeah.
Second single, Shifty?
Slam.
Second
single. Second single was Shifty.
It was Slam was last?
Yeah. Second single was Shifty. You're right.
Okay, so Shifty does its thing. Yeah, Mick Show, yada, yada. I love that record.
It kind of just kept the Shifty momentum going.
Slam comes Shifty out.
Right.
Ah, oh, man. Fucking Shifty was the third single. Fuck y'all talking about, man. Slam was the second single.
I don't want to get him mad also.
Fuck I'm talking about.
Talking to Mike.
Sticky, yell at us
Slam
on the
was
micro.
The second single, man.
Okay.
Shifty was the third single, brother.
Okay.
All right, so either way, Slam is the fucking one.
Right.
I mean, it becomes a...
Not my favorite.
Of course not. It wasn't...
Mine either, see?
No, I mean, for the heads, it wasn't necessarily our favorite, even though it was dope, but it was so, it was the pop hit. It was a fucking... Now, did they anticipate that that would be a smash?
Yes.
The label knew?
Yes, Jam Master Jay knew. We crafted that song for that purpose.
Oh, that was a this is our
the
hit.
It wasn't
a mistake. Song, right? It was intentional.
And did you know that it would go as far as it went, though?
I mean, I'm not a psychic, but it was made for that purpose.
It was
right.
What happened was Nirvana had this record called Spells Like Teen Spirit.
Of course.
And when we was writing an album, that record was always on MTV, whatever. So we was like, yo, we want to make the hip hop version of this record. So we had the concept, and we knew once we would get the record,
well, like from the video,
just like, the visual.
The song is not
no, but just the slam
oh, yeah, when
dancing.
They, yeah, when they, it does go
we,
home.
We
yeah.
just wanted that vibe,
energy.
So once we knew what we wanted, and we knew where it could go because the Nirvana shit was just, and then Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was just like, you know, those records were, you know, people they were accepted in hip hop.
How far did that record take you guys? And what kind of crazy events and shows did you end up
around the world, five times.
We're on a world tour right now.
That record.
We're on a world tour right now promoting Wake the Fuck Up, but the record that everybody wants to hear is Slam. You know, my thing...
Is that the last record you do?
Every night?
But not since the new... Yes, it has to be.
It's pretty much... That's what...
I tell rappers all the time, yo, once you get a hit record,
right.
you can
Slam
perform
was second.
For the rest of your life.
Slam was second?
Yeah.
Good call, Sticky.
Yeah, he knows.
So, but what kind of crazy shows did it lead to at the time? Did it lead to like the MTV Spring Breaks and like all the crazy shit that
we were MTV's babies
at that point.
Yeah, at that point, I might as well just had an MTV tattoo on my neck.
You guys were just doing everything. They're calling you up
every day,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you know, we was doing food. What was it? The model chick. You was doing the food. Heidi Klum was it? Heidi Klum.
No,
that was pre Heidi Klum. This is like what? This is more like Cindy Crawford. Like
Cindy Crawford.
There you go.
Yeah. This guy's good. Yeah, it was Cindy Crawford.
She was because she was MTV's darling too.
She made me drink that wheat juice. This shit
wheat
was horrible.
Grass. Like,
yeah.
You know, we was just doing all the Russell Adams doing all of the MTV shit. We was doing it, man. It was cool.
Now let's say you do something like that, Cindy Crawford, whatever it was. Was it at like a studio or something, like a television studio? Or?
It was at some health food store.
How many
on location?
How many goons go to that?
The goons stay outside. The goons stay.
But they were there.
Yeah, of course.
10? Outside.
No, maybe 20. Because back in the days, we rode with a lot of people.
Yeah, too many people.
We rode with, I mean, 10
people. But they wouldn't all meet Cindy Crawford.
Nah, they would just be outside.
You tell them
be
outside. You'd be, there's four people with
outside,
you.
Outside, but the cars, you know, playing the music.
Chilling, holding shit down.
Okay.
While we take care of business, you know what I mean?
Did it change the way, did that record change the way you guys kind of had to operate and move around, though? Because of the level of things you started getting invited to do?
No, I never had a security guard.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean in terms of not being able to bring everyone or like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah,
as you get into higher end shit, well, it's harder to pull that off.
Nah, now we can bring more people because we got more money.
Well, going overseas, true. Of course, you go with your band, you know what I'm saying? Your main people, you don't move like that.
But locally.
We're from New York.
Yeah, so here.
Anywhere in New York, it's like, yo, like, people just want to have fun from the hood. They want to get out. They know we're having a show. Yo, they want to be a part of it. And we let them be a part of it. It was never a closed door with us. You know what I'm saying? Southside always roll with us.
Where's Lost Boys and 50 in this era of Southside?
Well, you know, Lost Boys.
50 was probably a kid at the
time. No, Lost Boys. I went to school with Cheeks. We were always battling in the lunchroom, me and Cheeks.
Lost Boys was around. They putting out music too, right?
It was me and Cheeks.
It was, me and Cheeks, the king of Basie Park. We were the young niggas in Basie Park rhyming. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? With Grandmaster Vic and all of them. That's why I started. I started rhyming in the park. You know what I'm saying? Basie Park. It was like, every time I rhymed in Basie Park, there was a shootout. You know what I'm saying? I used to walk from my crib all the way. So it was me and Cheeks. We were the youngest niggas in Basie. You know what I'm saying? Spank G and them niggas was giving us the reins. You know what I'm saying? When Payton Ford was playing Supreme Team basketball teams, and them niggas is playing $5,000 a man, and it's real shit, all cars outside. I was a little nigga rapping, 15, going under the ropes. I don't know how I got under the ropes, but I was there. You know what I'm saying? And they were showing love. So I was Cool Fred Joe from Southside. That's how I came up in the rap game. I'm OG in this shit. So Lost Boys was there with us. And I remember the first time we had a record on Profile. I showed it to Cheeks. I was like, yo, we got a record. He was like, and they got a record deal. So now you got two groups from the LB fam, Lost Boys, and you got Onyx. We both was coming up the same time, basically.
Wow.
Same corners.
What happened to the Biohazard version?
Yeah.
Was that big for you guys too?
Well, Slam was platinum already when we did that.
Yeah, it was late. It was late. I remember.
Double platinum. Yeah. So.
So it took it to another level.
It's
though.
It's a double platinum. From
what was that album?
From platinum.
That was a
Back the Fuck Up album.
That was a
hip hop to hip hop and rock.
Oh, you talking about
it wasn't on Judgment Night, was it? It was on Judgment Night.
That's the name of the movie.
It wasn't it, right?
Judgment Night. It's called Judgment Night. We had the title soundtrack song.
Happy Waltzes and all that.
Right.
So, did you guys tour with them too or no?
Never.
You didn't do any rock tours.
That's crazy. We never toured with them.
That's interesting cuz I thought you could have been on a tour with Chili Peppers and people like that.
I would love to. We never toured with them. You never tour with fucking
Beastie Boys,
which are always, those are my
never
like,
offered anything?
Never. People don't know Beastie Boys is like one of my favorite groups when I was coming up. Like, you know, that album was, it's part of Onyx.
Part of just who you guys are is
exactly.
People.
You know, we come from that. That's our club. We come from the Beastie Boys, Run DMC, Onyx. Like, we're rock and rap.
Why nobody would take you on the road?
I don't know. Maybe they were scared. I don't know. Maybe they would.
There would have to be.
Yeah, you know. Maybe
had to be something that they saw, because right. The music was perfect for
they
that
damn
type
show
of
was
shit.
Giving us free clothes though.
So who did you guys tour with? And you ended up getting out on the paid tour.
The first tour was with the Chronic tour. Was with
okay.
Trey,
so all right, let's get to Suge that for Knight. A second.
That's when Suge wasn't even. No, Suge was just security at the time.
Right. Chronic tour.
That was before Tupac was on the label. It was just Dog Pound, us,
right.
Dre.
They liked your music, so they put you on the tour.
Put us on the tour.
Who else was it? Like any other outside groups, not
us and Run DMC.
Oh wow!
We open Run DMC. We open Dog Pound, Run DMC, then Chronic.
Now, did you guys directly influence Run DMC's style for Down with the King? Because remember, they turned into the Baldies and the whole.
Definitely,
we wrote a song for them too.
Wrote a couple of joints.
Right? Can I get it, yo? What'd you?
I forget which song was.
Yes, the one we wrote.
I think that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
At least at the time. Mm-hmm. But you guys were still really tight with them. I mean, did you end up getting cool with the whole crew, with everyone?
Mm-hmm. It was all cool with us, man.
And what was the relationship like with the rest of the Def Jam roster, the Reds and the?
I'll tell you a little story. One time, we did a summer jam.
What we're here for?
With L Cool J, you know, it was like summer jam for one of these radio stations. I think it was San Francisco, and
KMEL.
Yep. And L Cool J didn't want to take a picture with us. Because we was that hot, and he wasn't at the time. Like, we was platinum. He was trying to, you know, barely hitting gold. You know, we was, all attention was on us. You know, I guess he felt the kind of way. But you know what? He took the picture with us. He gave us that respect. But I always remember that, like, he didn't want to. I saw it, like, he was like.
Bald-headed motherfucker.
We like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but come on, LL's a cool dude.
Yeah, but you know,
and y'all are fucking wild. Like, I'm a laid back
person.
It don't
matter, but it's all about egos too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Once you're the top ego on the label, part. You get the top treatment. Then you got some little niggas.
If I seen y'all coming up the street, I'd be like, oh god, and I might cross over.
If you were him, if you were yeah,
like not today.
Back then, like
not today. I'm just.
Although it's but y'all are all, like that. That's pretty amusing. Actually, reminds me the other night, Seth, when I was at Phuket. I was walking, some girl asked me for a picture, and this has never happened. Maybe it's happened to you. I thought it was surprising. It's never happened. And then I was surprised it hasn't happened more. She's like, hey, can you take a picture to a guy that was with her? He looks down. She's like, can you take a picture to the next guy? He looks away. I'm like, motherfucker, someone just take a picture. I'm not gassed that the girl wants to take a picture with me.
Right.
No, that's none of. Finally, shit. Another dude's like, I'll take the picture.
Finally. Takes
the camera. I was like, guys.
That's some hood shit.
I know. No one was trying to fuck with it.
Can I eat?
That's how selfie was invented.
I know, so no one has to be that guy. All right, so that album does great, and then you come back around for the next record, and then you drop a song that I think many would regard as the greatest Onyx song of all time. I'm not talking about Live off of the Show soundtrack, even though I do love that song, too.
Not a fan of Last Days, man.
Life.
I know.
You're not a fan of Last Days?
He's so weird. No, listen, he has random shit. Hey,
this is going to be your last day here.
Trust me, I've gotten beat up about it many times.
Because they forgot to add the hi-hat in it? In the mix?
I don't know.
Just, what do you not like about it?
I don't know. That Back the Funk album sound was my sound. And then Last Days come out, I'm like, this don't even sound like
but
that.
You're so technical.
And it was Bob James, too.
Nah, the sound changed because...
it didn't change that much to me, though. I think it's related.
Nah, man.
I produced the second...
Last Days is Bob James.
I know.
And Earl Cool.
I know.
And Aretha Franklin.
I'm going to tell you what happened with the production with Sean Skills. Sean Skills started, you know, Shaquille O'Neal wants him to do an album, and he was doing it at the time. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, Onyx is here. We need some beats, B. He's like in Miami, whatever, Shaq was playing Orlando or whatever.
Oh, he got with Shaq. Yeah. I kind of remember that.
In this seat
yo,
right
this
here.
Nigga driving purple M3s with big... chain with ice on his neck, Sha Skills. I'm like, Sha, what's up? He's like, yo, you like my car? You like my chain? I'm
I
like,
I kind of do remember something.
No,
about
I don't like your. Did car, he do any? I'll take your chain, but
did he do any of the? Did he do any of the Shaq's album stuff? No, never happened.
A lot of the Shaq shit, yeah.
Oh, shit that we ended up knowing, like.
Probably did a lot of the whole.
Hopefully, he got some good checks on it at least.
I'm sure, he did. That's why he didn't do the second album. He was in Miami, basking in the sun or some shit.
But so the single was Last Days slash All We Got Is Us, yeah. Which I thought were both really dope. But Last Days is the one people took to. Mm. All right, Syfe, we get it. You're wrong. Fine. Sorry. There's some things you're wrong about. I posted it last night on Instagram. I posted. I said I'm prepping for Juan Epstein right now.
Let me guess. You like that happy song, huh?
What?
Pharrell? He's that's all Syfe listens to.
It's your favorite, right?
I'm going to tell you my favorite.
That's your favorite, right?
No, Happy Back is the anti-Last Days. Happy is the opposite of Last Days.
Back the Fuck Up is one of my favorite albums of all time. But my favorite line ever is, I don't even remember what this
is
from.
Mine's mine's and what's yours is mine's.
I'd spill so much blood, you think I was Crip. What is
you
that from?
That shit, right?
What is that again?
First album?
Nah, that's... some weird.
I don't know.
Pete Rock.
I said that. But
was it Pete Rock? Strange Fruit.
That record was crazy.
Ooh!
That record was.
I played
crazy.
That in Fat Beats so much. They were like, Syfe, you gotta play. Something. When I worked in the record shop, they were like, you have to play something else for the.
Wait, you talking about Strange Fruit off the Pete Rock?
Yeah,
the,
that album was woo-hoo! Crazy,
and that song was crazy.
No, I'm gonna play that album today.
Well, the Soul Survivor.
Yeah, that album.
I mean,
yeah.
Yo, you guys were on Summer Stage on Sunday.
Yeah, we rocked.
How was that?
Wait, what?
We were Sunday. Summer Stage, yeah.
Y'all fuck up. Y'all?
Oh, I was there Saturday.
Did y'all step to Dos Effects?
Yeah, were you there for Rocksteady?
Nah, it was Sunday.
It was Rocksteady?
Yeah, I was there Saturday with Chronix and Mick Jagger. Yeah, me and Mick was hanging out.
Did you really meet Mick or no?
He's doing Mick Jagger.
I was hanging with Mick Jagger. Come on, anyway, this is about you guys today.
You came a long way from the tunnel, man. A long way, man.
What up? Mick Jagger was there doing some crazy reggae dances.
What about Adolf the Assassin?
One of the illest producers. He produced. He was a big helper. You know, he was
second album, right?
Second album.
Yeah, he was all around that.
Was he a kid?
Yo, when I met Adolf, he was some troublemaking kid from Brooklyn. When I first met him, somebody had beat him up from Gowanus Project, and he was like, "Yo, nigga, stepped in me with Woo," and we stepped in the niggas like, "Yo, it's my nigga with Woo. Ain't nobody touching this nigga." You know what I'm saying?
No more.
And we no more.
You got one, and that's it, guys. Cut it out.
Yo, could there be any better a thing if you were a kid and someone fucked with you and being, I'll be right back, and you come back with Onyx?
Yeah, so
it's for the fucking win.
Kidnapped him, threw him. Yo, we threw this dude, and we had the crib in Edgewood, Jersey. We had a beat machine. When I met him, he had a Caesar. We threw the nigga in a dungeon.
Right.
The nigga came out with an afro. Word up.
Later.
Two months before
later.
He had his deal.
No shirt, like
yeah.
This is before he put out Alize for Dolo and Ghetto Girl and all that shit.
Before that shit.
So shout out to Aglo, by the way. Good guy. We saw him in L.A. He came out. He's a nice guy.
The Assassin.
Yeah.
What up, God? Oh, the Assassin. Had, and the voice sounds like this.
Battle cannabis in front of the
voice battles?
Huh?
Did you ever have voice
battles? Yeah, you
battles?
And Agal ever go at it?
Nobody wants to battle me.
When it comes to these voices.
I remember Aguilar battled cannabis.
This voice, not raps.
I've heard of the Aguilar.
I can't fuck with his voice. His voice is like this and that.
Cannabis
like
gave it to him. I had to give it. Cannabis gave it to
okay,
him.
Okay, hold on real quick. I want to a couple of things. You guys got to dip in like 3 minutes. Big Pun. Did you guys work with Pun on the remix? Like, did you spend any time with him?
He came to the studio. I'm talking to Pun, right? It's a story. I'm talking to Pun, shit. And he's on the couch. I guess we listening to the mix. I'm talking, yo, Pun, who? Next time he was sleeping. I'm like, yo, what the nigga went to sleep in 2 seconds. So
passed out on you.
Passed out on me. But
And nobody then woke knows. Up and picked up the conversation.
Right where it was.
Exactly.
The way he lay vocals, I don't want to give a secret out, but it's nobody does vocals the way he lays it. I can't give a secret out, but it's crazy the way he lays his vocals. It's unbelievable. Because you think his breath control, he has his technique to this shit. It's crazy.
What's happening with you and Keith Murray, Fredro?
Me and Keith Murray going one-on-one.
Battle for fun, for sport?
Nah, what it is was, you know what I'm saying, this kid MC War approached me and Keith about a battle. And I feel like, you know, the battle right now is the hot. Culture's popping.
It's popping.
We didn't have that platform coming up in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have the battle platform. So, you know, right now, 20 years later, I feel like we can approach it right now. We're battling over beats. You know what I'm saying?
Did you have a problem back in the day?
Over beats. I love over beats.
It's not a problem thing. It's a lyrical battle. There's no beef.
No, I'm saying back in the day, did you have issues?
Oh, I never had issues.
Married?
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Nah. Okay, so this is just...
He was my man.
So you just... This is just a rhyme battle.
There's people in the industry that you rock with.
The battle.
Keith was one of them niggas that I, you know...
Keith Murray was the illest nigga to hang out with.
I hang on Keith. Me and Keith Murray hang out on 125. He's standing on top of the Lexus. Wilding, like...
I was about to say, because you and Keith would be a lot of energy at the same time.
It's going
to
be crazy.
That's going to be crazy. And, you know, I talked to Keith yesterday. He's going to be coming in here soon, too. So we're inadvertently promoting this battle. I didn't even realize
because
it.
Because I think this could open up.
This is way better than that other battle that he just had. Yeah, I would much rather see this.
You'd rather see these guys go.
Because it makes sense. Now, you might want to see the Rakim and Big Daddy Kane battle that never happened. Yeah. You might want to see the Cannabis and LL battle that never... Because they battled on records.
You know how much money there'd be if someone could pull that all together? You know how much money
this is the platform we're trying to create. We are the first to do it.
I love it. Tell us what happened to Big DS. If there's anything you can give us, people are asking. I asked for questions about
Big
him.
DS, you know, Big DS passed from cancer.
From stomach cancer.
I knew that.
Colon cancer. You know, cancer is very, you know, one of the top killers in the hood. Cancer and bullets, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, rest in peace.
And you guys,
Big DS is one of the founders of Onyx, you know what I'm saying? It's his vision, too.
So rest in peace. Listen, also, what about Fredro Sunset Park, the acting thing? I know you were popping.
Let's talk about the new movie we're about to
tell us about the new
we're
movie.
We're on a world tour right now because we're waiting for... You know, the green light. The green light is already green lit, but we're waiting for Russell Simmons to say, okay, guys, get the fuck off the road and let's film this movie called Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel with a K.
That Sticky's producing and Sticky's directing. It's an all-rap movie. We did a movie called Day in the Life.
A Day in the Life.
It's an all-rap movie.
Russell, what do you mean? Everyone's rapping?
Everything
all
is
the dialogue,
in dialogue
is in rap.
And we got Omar Abbas, Bo King. We got everybody in the movie.
God, Pfeiffer.
Listen to me. I'm going to give you a gem. If I can offer you one gem, you've given us tons. Let me give you one. They fucked up trying to do the Tupac musical.
Oh, yo.
Someone like y'all should take an all-rap show to Broadway and let it be authentic.
This could actually happen. This is part of that. We plan to make the hip-hop version of Rocky Horror. This is going to be the hip-hop version of Rocky Horror. Guarantee you. 20 years later, people are going to go to the theaters on the annual days, say the rhymes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's set to music. And music is something that you remember.
You know, listen, a lot of times if someone has come in and tell me all this, I would say it was bullshit. But with you, you've been successful in a few fields.
And the godfather of hip-hop, Russell Simmons.
And if you get Russell involved.
He's producing the movie. You know what I mean?
So, you know, the first one we did it without Russell. We did it.
Where can I see that? Where can we see that one?
Anywhere.
Netflix, et cetera?
Amazon, Netflix. Okay. Yeah, it's called A Day in the Life. By Sticky Fingers.
Last thing I'm going to ask you guys. I'm sorry. I know you got to go. Any relationship with Pac or Big? We always ask anyone.
Yeah, of course. Those guys, we smoke weed, hang out with them. I was with Biggie in L.A. before he passed.
Before he died.
A couple of days, you know.
That weekend for the
I was
awards.
With him 3 days before he got murdered. Like, every 3 days in the Four Seasons, I was with Biggie. Chilling, smoking ounces of weed, listening to the Life or Death album before anybody heard it. I called Stick. Yo, Stick, I just heard the Life or Death album. You got to come the next day. He's like, bring Stick the next day. I brought Stick with me the next day. Same shit. We listening to the Life or Death album just like this before anybody heard it. I'm listening to the album like this. Like every song come on, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean,
Why am I here?
You listening to the Life or Death album before anybody with Biggie mumbling every word under his breath.
That is
imagine
insane.
Imagine that.
That's enough.
And
I mean,
he dies.
Oh.
Nigga, my heart was... This could have been my best friend. It could have been somebody that, you know what I mean? The relationship could have went somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, did Primo write you guys? Did you guys get written any checks for the J.Ru samples?
Yes, they cleared the sample.
Uh-oh, yes, heads
they
up.
Cleared it.
And then I realized, I was listening to the album yesterday, they also used, you know what the other one used?
No.
Other J.Ru, where is it?
The fat boy.
Give me the money, give me
Give me the loot.
Give me the loot.
Oh, no.
Oh, Biggie, that was
No, J.Ru. And to all y'all crews, whatever.
Use that?
Yeah, on the second album. Yo, J-Rue, my bad. Dry snitch.
We got fat boy these niggas.
Fat.
Don't fat boys.
Fat boy, boy, boy.
Guys, thank you very much. Look for the new album. Shalom. Wake the fuck up. Look for them on the road.
This interview sucked.
Why, you wanted more?
We didn't do Moesha yet.
No, we're not doing Moesha.
No, we're not allowed to do any of
this. I didn't even know what that was about, but no.
Hip hop today. Still, we want to know. There's other movies. Fucking hey, Drake. Hey. The Drake shout out.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, that was a poor
quit
shout out.
Quit while you're behind.
That was a poor shout out.
Well, what was the Drake shout out thing again?
Fredro Starr, Son and His Yellow Goose. Actually, I got a song called The Truth. I actually sampled Drake. I didn't play the sample, but.
Drake showed you love, though.
Should I clear a sample if he shot my name out?
I feel like you don't need to. But it's clean.
A given.
That felt really important because at the time he was just coming up, so it was good to be recognized by an upcoming rapper because Drake wasn't.
Oh, it's on Successful.
It was on his first album with the song with Jay-Z, Light Up.
Oh, yeah, it was on Light Up. Yes. Yeah, like when Fredro Starr said it.
You know, so I was, you know, me and Jay-Z had a little problem one time, you know what I'm saying? But Jay's a real nigga, you know what I'm saying? And he performed the joint with Drake live, and I was like, you know, he was doing Drake ad-libs, and I was like, would Jay-Z actually say my name at the ad-lib? And he was like, he said my name.
And he did?
Yeah, he was like, Fredro Starr. I was like, cool. Hey,
that's interesting. I'll never have that experience. I'll never
I'm
watch it.
Get some Jamaican food. I'm out of here.
All right, peace, guys. Onyx, good looking out.